This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you just doing a podcast to become famous? Because that's not going to work.
Welcome to The Limits. I'm Jay Williams. And I've been thinking for days about that gem from Deez Is Nice. You see, I've done the TV game for years, but now I'm in the podcast space. It's the wild, wild west of the media. Anything goes, and it seems like every damn day there is a new podcast on the block. Over the last decade, though, I've watched Deez Is and the Kid Mero build their podcast from the floor up. And what started out as two New York-ass dudes cracking jokes on Twitter soon became a brand. On their show, trust me, nobody is safe.
Damn, Elon Musk said, yo, let me get the Richard Spencer.
He spent all his Dogecoin on one toupee. Yo. He got too much money. He could get better hair than that.
Come on, dog.
You see, Deez Is and Mero aren't afraid to say what they're thinking at any given time and in any given space. And that's what the people love about them. Their show is aired on Complex and Viceland. Now, it's a late-night talk show on Showtime. That's right. They made it. And their guests are some of the most important people in the entire world.
Gentlemen.
Oh, Mr. President Obama. How's it going, sir?
Sir, good to see y'all.
Good to see you.
My man.
Now, here's the funny thing. Years before any of this, back in the day, I'm talking about back in the day, 2017, they had me on their show. And I couldn't pronounce Deez Is to save my damn life.
Deez Is!
It's Deez Is!
Deez Is!
But I just knew they had something special in them. And they got their pulse on everything. I'm talking about from the NBA to the dating scene in New York, and of course, what it takes to make a successful pod. We're getting meta on The Limits today, y'all. Here's my conversation with Deez Is Nice and the Kid Mero.
Congrats on all the success, man.
Like Thank you.
It's crazy.
Appreciate it, man.
It feels like yesterday, but it was so long ago that we were rapping and y'all were just getting things going. To see where you guys are now with Showtime, doing late night. Yo, congrats on all it. Much love and success continue, man. How does
it feel? Thank you, man.
How does it feel to, you guys have always arrived, but I guess to get public acknowledgement that you have arrived.
It's a wild ride. It's like, every now and then you got to stop and just like take it in and just be like, yo, you realize all the work you put in and like where you're at now. And like, even it's like little things are like tent poles to you. It's just even like the guests we're getting this season. We're getting Denzel. We're getting Pusha T. We're getting, when we first started the show, you know, no offense to you, because you were around the time we started getting popping people. But before that, it was a lot of people we went to grade school with. It was the bodega owner. It was like the cat from the bodega. We were just getting whoever we could get. And now it's just like,
who's in the context?
It's like, you have to stop on our show if you're running for politics. Like, we've had Obama on. We've had Biden on. Like, you're right. It's been a hell of a ride.
I kind of felt like that was a little bit of a slight, but I felt like it was a compliment at the same time.
I don't know how to really feel that.
It
was like, because it's like I have a soft spot for the people that come on the show and don't really know the show or don't really know how to pronounce the host names. So, you know, I got to just like work with them.
Listen, Jay, I got you. Listen, I for my first was born and I stayed home and I was an ESPN junkie and I watched everything that you was on because I'm also a basketball junkie. So, you know what I mean? Like, I was there, like, and to me, like, you know, ESPN anchors were like celebrities, bro. Like, I'm in the Bronx. I'm in a two-bedroom apartment with, like, multiple children. So, like, these dudes are on, they on TV. I remember getting a shout-out from one of y'all on, like, a live programming. And I was just like, oh! I was bugging. You know what I mean?
That was that was one of those moments when we did, like, the cycle at ESPN. That was like, yo.
The car wash?
Yo.
That was, man, it was like, different. Yo.
Car wash.
When people see you on ESPN, because that's like one of those things where your boy might not necessarily watch the show, but he's in a bar and he looks up. He's like, yo, you on ESPN? And that's when like, that's a sign you made it in the hood.
Yo,
not
D,
going to college, being on ESPN.
I got to apologize, D, because I can't tell you every time I see y'all and y'all always doing your thing, y'all everywhere. I'm like, if we just go back in time and just do that differently.
This weekend, I met some kids, and they were like, yo, we watch your show all the time. We get high. We just sit there. We watch it. Yo, we love you, Mero. And I was like, what the
fuck?
I was like, really?
I cannot. To his point, I cannot tell you how many times motherfuckers have come up to me and be like, yo, De Jesus, yo, I love you, B. Like, they're like, oh, he's like the Latino guy. He must be De Jesus or De Jesus like, or whatever.
But I'm like, at least they know the name.
At least they know the name. They got the brand down. All right, so let's get into sports. So what's worse, man? The Knicks not making the playoffs or the Nets getting swept by the Celtics? Take me through. What's worse like, for the
worse?
City? I'm talking about city culture, New York City culture.
Oh,
what's
city
worse?
Culture? The Knicks not making the playoffs, 100%.
The Knicks not making the playoffs.
The Knicks are...
Really?
Did
y'all really believe that last year was going to be it?
Did you see that video from opening night after that double overtime win against the Celtics? Do you know if the Knicks had won one playoff game, we would have burned this city down. So that was probably better for the city that we didn't even sniff the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm not being a hater. All I'm saying is the Nets promised a lot of stuff. The Nets had t-shirts. They had scary hours. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was all about the Nets.
Brooklyn.
Exactly. And nobody, like people was like, yo, at least second round. The Nets said, whoa, hold up. You see the prices in Cancun? Mm-hmm. We going. So,
hey, bro, listen, I was saying it all over the place. I was like, yo, the Celtics are going to sage the arena with Kyrie tonight. The sweep is going to get completed. It's over. It's done. Like, they were playing with, like, dead eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was nothing there.
And what makes it even worse, now it gives Knicks fans bragging rights. And you know you don't want that.
You got to make the playoffs to actually have bragging rights.
No, you don't.
But Jay, though, you got to understand.
You know what it is? It's like, say you and your boy goes to Harvard. He got, like, straight A's, all that stuff. Y'all apply for the same job. Neither one of y'all got it. Hey. It is what it is.
And that's the thing. And I stand by this. If KD remember that show Wife Swap?
Mm-hmm.
Like where they like swap families. If you swap KD and Julius Randle, Knicks are in the playoffs, 100%. With that with those rosters.
I want Kevin and Kyrie to win. I really do.
I just want
them to stay out of their own way. And then like I'm leaving the Ben Simmons thing alone because like the mental health aspect of it, I'm not even touching it. I know y'all probably can't. I'm leaving it alone.
It's one of those things where if you didn't know about it, you could possibly do jokes. But now that you know about it, you're like, all right, it's not funny anymore. Like, he's really going through something. You don't want to, like, make it worse by, like, making him the butt of the joke on the internet. But not everyone feels that way. And, you know, you got to think about, like, imagine you already dealing with mental stuff. And now when you can't even go on social media because people are cooking you. You know, it's like that kind of thing. And that's the thing, like, you know, like, a lot of the older players didn't have to deal with. Like, Jordan didn't have to, like, see people calling him Cheese Eye McGee after every game. But these players got to do that.
You know what I mean? It was just on the court. You know, bro, you play for Duke. Like,
every time I say something people don't like,
programs in the world.
Every time I say something people don't like, they tell me I need to go hit a utility pole. Like, it's straight up, it's harsh out here.
It's harsh.
But do you feel like comedy is losing its place? Like, you can't tell jokes anymore? Like, I mean, I can go through the list of the names, the Dave Chappelle's, everybody. You can't just be free, open, and talk openly anymore. Like, everything has to be criticized or scrutinized or delve deeper into.
Well, I mean, that's the culture right now. Like, everything is going to – there's nothing you can put out right now that's not going to get criticized. You put out a rap album, there's people going to do a deep dive on it. We've seen – there's a deep dive on if the Snickers bar still has canes in it the other day. Like, people are just bored and people are going to criticize
that again?
Stuff.
I'm sorry. I did not hear you correctly.
The Snickers bar – do you know it has like the vein on it? And people were getting scared because they were saying that if you remove the vein, that's where the flavor is at. So there's that.
I've never thought about a Snickers bar with a vein. But now that you're bringing it up, it makes me want to throw up in my own mouth.
Now you never not think about
it. I will never eat another Snickers bar again.
Stop.
That's so fucked up. Don't do that to me.
Right after this.
But see, like, even that kind of thing is just like, even with comedy,
you can say whatever
you want, but you just got to be ready for the criticism. You got to be ready to stand by what you said. And it's like, you know, it's not the best example, but like, look with Will Smith and Chris Rock. Like, that's a possibility that could happen from you saying a joke. So you got to be like, yo, how much does this joke mean to me? Like, is this the joke I want to say? And am I willing to handle what happens from what I say this joke? And I mean, that's what being a comedian is. You got to measure your risks. And then also, a lot of people that get canceled end up with Netflix shows. So,
that's the wildest part to me. It's like, cancel me then.
Yeah, didn't
Louis
C.K. got canceled and just won an Emmy. So, I think that's what we need. That's the next step we got to do. We got to get canceled.
So, is it seriously like while you guys are going through your material about what you're going to riff on your show, is it like, do you kind of wait? Well, if we say this, we can probably gain more cultural currency, but we can also do this at the expense of some of our relationships, or does this hurt us procuring other talent to bring on the show? Or is it kind of just like, no, it's a free for all?
You know what? Generally, it's a free for all because most people, they take what we say in stride and they know it's not malicious. They know we're joking because some of the jokes we make are so ridiculous. Like if Miracle says you look like a buttered biscuit, you can't be like, yo, I'm not doing their show. Like that's not going to look good for you. And it's like, we're not like, yo, look at her ugly baby. Like you're not going to get someone to come on for that. Yeah. So it's just kind of like, as long as people realize the comedy's in good nature, then, you know, that you get a lot more wiggle room with people for that. Because people will be like, oh, they're just riffing or they're just joking. Or like, we have people who are just like, yo, the time you cooked me on your show, that was my favorite segment ever. I loved it. Me and my wife were in bed laughing at it. So sometimes people just, you know, like, they're just like, yo, they're not like, yo, they're making jokes about me. They're like, yo, they're mentioning me.
Yeah.
Every interview has to be different and it has to be fun. That's at the end of the day, I want you to leave the interview being like, yo, Denzel's real. Like, damn, I didn't know Denzel knew about Pepinos. You know what I'm saying? Like, things like that. Like, little nuggets like that that you won't get anywhere else. You know what I mean? Like, you know, of course you're going to talk about, you know, your career and this and that. But there's just, like, little gems in every interview where, like, you know, Pusha talking about fatherhood. Denzel talking about, you know, his youth and coming up and, like, you know, all that type of stuff. That's not, like, you know, boilerplate late night stuff where they just like, so what's your inspiration for doing Macbeth on Apple TV? You know what I mean? Like, at the same time, we're fans of these people too. You know what I mean? Like we grew up on Denzel. So it's like, bro, this is wild. Like, yo, Denzel's here. You know what I mean? Like
training day.
You know what I mean? And it's like, we're not so like, yo, we made it that somebody like Denzel is just like, oh yeah, we got Denzel tomorrow. It ain't nothing. Like, it's like, you get up for that.
No matter how funny and provocative they get, Desus and Mero are very intentional with their work. After the break, they talk to me about how they put themselves out there in front of the cameras to show us their true authentic selves. And Desus gets even realer about the horrible dating scene in New York City. Plus, we debate the best rappers in the game today. This is The Limits from NPR. I'm Jay Williams.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, BetterHelp. It's easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself too thin. Therapy can provide the tools and self-awareness to help you learn how to recharge, define your boundaries, and build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp Online Therapy. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy: family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
On NPR's Throughline,
we cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
How the hell do you continue to stay true with who you are as your life is changing? Like, I would assume the dudes I met several years ago, their lives has changed in a different way. Right? Because of all the success that you guys have. So is it like, do you continue to showcase the success or do you try to keep yourself like, nah, we don't talk about those things. We talk about maybe more so what was before.
I mean, at a certain level, your success is your life now. Like, there's only, like, you have to talk about what's going on and, like, so the audience knows, because it gets to a point where you're going to run out of stories if you're just talking about the past. So you got to, like, if people want to hear, people want to hear about the success. They want to hear about me and Meryl going to the VMAs. They want to hear about us riding in helicopters and stuff. And that's something that people like about our podcast. It's like, every time we go to an event, every time we interact with a person, we're super excited because we're not even supposed to be here. We're like from the Bronx. Who knew we'd even have a TV show? So when people hear us, when they hear about us going to like a fashion show and we're describing it through our eyes, it's like we're super excited. We don't know who these people are. We don't know the rules or whatever. And so that's the kind of thing people like. People are just like, yo, just keep elevating the brand. Keep elevating the brand because they want to hear things like that.
Meryl, it's the same for you. Like, just the more authentic you are, the more real it becomes, and it's translatable.
Yeah, no, 100%. And like the good thing about us is that like we're two different. We're individuals. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus is doing his thing on this side. I'm doing this thing on this side. And like for the fan base, all bases are covered. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here with my kids, and we're swimming in the pool or whatever. And Jesus is traveling, doing his thing. So it's just like, yo, if you like this, like, you're going to get it here. If you like this, you're going to get it here. You know what I mean? So it's just like everything is covered, like the whole spectrum. Like, you know, family man, single guy, you know, like displaying success. I display my success in a different way. You know what I mean? And it's all meant to be inspirational. It's not flexing like, yo, look at me. I'm out here. You know what I mean? It's just like, yo, two dudes from the Bronx got it out the mud. You know what I mean? And look where we are now. You know what I mean? Just staying true.
Jesus, real talk. How's the single life? Talk to me. Yeah. I haven't been single for a long time. I have a third kid on the way. Take me through.
You know
it.
What?
Bring me back.
Bring you back. It's like, it's different when you're on TV. It's like,
how?
Because you meet people who know every.
Meryl, I'm going hard at him. I want to see if he tells me the truth.
No, you meet people who know every possible fact about you. You know nothing about them. They know your sister's name. They know your nephew's age and what school he goes to. And you know absolutely nothing about this person. You don't know if this is actually them or if they have crafted a persona based on what they know that you've liked and you've expressed on the podcast. So you have no idea of who the f*** these people you are meeting are. It is not fun, and you can't trust any of these people. You don't know what they want from you. Do they want to get knocked up and have a baby and take half your money? Do they want to get with you because they want to start a podcast? Do they want to get with you because they have a spec script they want you to read and push to a producer friend you know? Does that sound like fun? Also, because they know you made hella money, they never reach for the checks. But that's neither here nor there.
Yo, my dude, that was a real ass answer. And I get it. I mean, I was a professional athlete. It's one of the things that a lot of people don't often talk about because people want, oh, just be normal. Yo, how can I be normal? What in my life is normal? Right? Like, you just breaking that down. Like, that's just I don't even know how you come to grips with, though. Like, what kind of layers do people even need to go through in order to get to know the real you? How does that work for you?
I mean, it takes years of intimacy. Like, I'd have to let my guard down around you because you don't know these people. And that's the whole thing in this industry. You don't really know people. And then it's just like, just interacting with them. And then eventually people reveal themselves to you and you reveal yourself to people. Then you can see what people want from you. And like, if that kind of thing. But I think that's just something, that's not even like an industry thing. That's just kind of maybe a New York thing, a Bronx thing. That's just how we came up.
Real talk, D, are you happy? Because, I mean, you got the success, you got the show, like, personally. Like, are you happy with where you are personally?
I'm very happy. This is probably the happiest I've ever been in my life right now. Like, I'm in therapy, I've got good friends, I'm traveling, I'm eating good, got a dope apartment, got sneakers, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have all my family members are healthy. It's just about perspective. Because if you had asked me this question maybe a year ago, I would have been like, no, I'm miserable, my life sucks. And then you got to realize, like, I have a job where I make jokes with my friends and I make other people laugh and I get them through their day. That's an amazing feeling. And no matter how bad you're feeling, no matter what a sucky day you're having, you can be on the street and someone be like, yo, your show got me through the pandemic. Or, yo, me and my wife watch your show every night and that's all we love. And like, we love it. We never miss it. Thank you for what you're doing. They say that like we were in the armed forces. So, you know what I mean? Like, listen, we'll take that.
Meryl, it's one of the things that I struggle with sometimes because when you on TV and you're talking about sports, you're that escape for a lot of people, right? To go to a place where they don't have to think about their jobs. They don't have to think about their significant other. They don't have to think about, some of the tough things that they have to deal with in their life. But they don't think about, like, you're making them happy, you're entertaining them, but what entertains you? Like, what makes you fulfilled, man?
Yo, you know what's wild? It's funny because, like you know, you're saying, like, you had a third kid on the way, or you have three?
I got a third kid on the way, yo.
Okay, congrats. So yeah, thank I got you, four. Man. You know what I mean?
You got four?
Bless up. Yeah, I got four. I got three boys, and the youngest is my daughter. So, and now my kids are getting into sports. So, like, that gives me the ability, because I remember being a little kid and wanting to play Little League so bad, you know what I mean? And just being like, yo, fam, we can't afford all this equipment, bro. A big ass, a bag with a bat and a ball and this, all this stuff. There's no budget for it. So being coming from that and giving my kids that and not worrying about it, not tripping, being like, yo, you want to play football? You want to play baseball? You want to play basketball? You got it. You know what I'm saying? Like that, like to me, that's super duper duper fulfilling. Like, cause it's not even for me. Like I tell my wife all the time, I'm like such a Bronx dude, bro. Like if you give me some good bud, strong Wi-Fi, a PS5 with like, you know, extended storage, I'm chilling. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm a very simple guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm a sports dude too. I'm a sports nut. So like, give me my Knicks, give me my PS5, you know what I'm saying? And I'm good. But like, all this, like, you know, the house and the activities and all that stuff, it's really, it makes me happy to see, you know, what we've created together. You know what I mean? Like my wife and I, like, and I remember seeing my dad watching my mom eat food. Like we'd all be sitting eating dinner and my dad would just pause and watch my mom eat her food. And I thought that was so weird. You know what I mean? And like later I asked him, I was like, why'd you do that? And he was just like, because it felt good for me to know that me going out there and busting my ass, you know, for 12 hours a day made it so that I could get your mom what she wanted to eat tonight. You know what I mean?
Damn, that's deep.
And watching her enjoy every bite, that hit like right there. You know what I mean? And that's the way I feel about, you know, my kids and my family. My sister, my brother, my mom, my dad, you know.
Mm. You guys have obviously had a wide range of artists and hip-hop people on your show. So, D, I'll start with you first. Top five rappers in the game right now.
Oh, in the game right now?
In the game right now.
Oh, I gotta go with the watch list. You gotta go with Jay. You gotta go with Jay off the top. I'm guilty. I gotta put Pusha in there. I'm sorry. I love the Coke raps. I love that right there.
Yeah.
Sorry, Drake still got it. Drake, every now and then, Drake will say a bar that hits a little close to your heart, and you'd be like, damn.
So you're a little emotional right now. You're a little emotional. Yeah, yeah,
but then
yeah.
He'd be saying, like...
Brings out that soft side.
He'd be saying, like, empty emotional lines, like, yo, I flew her out here first class. She didn't even call me back. Like, little things like that. You'd be like, damn, that's kind of like my life right now. Like, that right there. let me see who else. Oh, Megan Thee Stallion's killing it right now. Can't go
everywhere.
Megan. Let me see. For my fifth...
Her interview was real, too, oh, man. Yeah. It was... Great, yeah, about everything.
And you know what? Let's I'm gonna throw Benny the Butcher in there right there. That's my guy.
Okay,
but you see, I like a lot of Coke rap, so I'm biased. Yeah.
I see that. What you got, Mero?
Oh man, I'm just like I said, I'm a sports dad. Like I got a football player, a baseball player, and a basketball player. So we're in the car listening to hype music. So like it's a lot of Future, a lot of Young Thug. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of 21 Savage. I took him back to the old school, and I'm like, yo, listen to this. Mobb Deep, Hell on Earth. Hmm? What about that?
Classic. Classic.
To me, Prodigy is the best rapper of all time. And, of course, you know what I'm saying? Bada, my guy, Big Pun, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace. And Fat Joe is an extension of that. You know what I mean? Because Fat Joe, to me, Fat Joe's so ill because Fat Joe was like, yo, five elements of hip-hop, like graffiti, breakdancing, you know, digging in the crates, crew, to... You know what I mean? Flojo era to like, and the guy's just still around. And he's good for at least one hit a year. You know what I mean? So like, that's something to aspire to, bro, that longevity.
You know what's crazy about it? During the pandemic, yo, he would just randomly hit me on IG, like, yo, come on my IG live. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how am I in a bottle of wine deep on an IG live with Fat Joe right now talking about, I see DJ Khaled in the back. I'm like, Khaled, I'm like, what's going on? Where the hell am I?
He's doing them IGs. They're calling him, what were they calling him? The Bronx Oprah. Because he was doing them. Yes. He had everyone on those IG.
The Jopra show. You're the Jopra show, Jay.
Yo, I was talking to my wife. My wife's like, are you on with? I'm like, yeah, just let me keep drinking. Let me just keep doing my thing right now. This is incredible.
Oh, I'm telling you, you cracked the code.
Yeah, man. Desus and Merrill are winning right now. But let's take it back for a second. After the break, we talk about that real-ass grind that nobody tells the truth about, what it's really like to get a podcast off the ground, plus what they learned from the early days of their career. Stick with us. This is The Limits from NPR. I'm Jay Williams.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Get your quote at progressive.com and see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. This message comes from NPR sponsor Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby, video games are one of the fastest growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
In their early careers, Desus and Merrill were struggling New Yorkers. They worked odd jobs, dealt with roaches, and spent way too much time online. But they were funny as hell, especially when they were in each other's replies on Twitter. Soon enough, people took notice and started to follow them, and their fans wanted more. They wanted a podcast. I've been thinking a lot about what Desus said earlier in our conversation. We're not even supposed to be here. Those were the exact words that came out of LeBron James's mouth in his 2013 NBA Finals speech.
I'm LeBron James from Akron, Ohio, from the inner city. I'm not even supposed to be here.
It's that constant feeling that you're the new kid on the block. It inspires a chip on your shoulder to go twice as hard. For Desus and Merrill, it's finally paying off. Here's what they had to say about making a successful podcast and maintaining longevity in the show business.
You guys obviously have the pulse of the city better than anybody else I've met and how you translate that through your content. So what kind of advice would you give out there to a young kid that comes to New York that's trying to figure out creatively like who he wants to be? How'd you guys get it off the ground? Take me through it.
You got to be yourself, man. You got to be yourself 100% of the time, all the time. Because if you kind of just like build up this like house of cards, like it's not sustainable. You know what I mean? Like if you develop a persona for your podcast or for your show, for whatever it is, eventually it's going to start to like peel away and like people are going to start poking holes in it. So number one, just be you, you know? And if you, and like, yo, it's a hard truth, but not everybody got it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you could work, you could do whatever this guy said, the 10,000 hours of practice and whatever, but there has to be talent there. You know what I mean? Like Jay, you didn't just go in a gym and pick up a basketball and be like, yo, I'm going to be one of the greatest, you know what I mean, to ever do it. You know what I mean? Like the talent was there. And then you put in the work hours necessary to refine that talent. But you got to have talent to begin with. And then you got to put the work in.
You have to know the reason why you're doing it. Are you just doing a podcast to become famous? Because that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people don't realize the statistics on podcasts are very similar to the statistics on small business. Something like 90% of them never get past the first episode. Because people hear a podcast. You know how many times a day people say to me, oh, me and my best friend are going to start a podcast. And all I say to them is good luck, because it's a lot of work to do a podcast. And after you do that first episode and you upload it, if you're even lucky enough to know how to upload it, you did all that hard work and you get 5 listens, you're going to be like, I'm not doing an episode 2. It's like you don't have that sleeping power. You don't want to like grow your audience or everything. You want to keep, you know, you got to grind at it. There were times we were uploading that podcast. If we hit like 5,000 listens, we was like, yo, big things going on. Like little things like that. And it's just like, The podcast should be fun. You can't be looking at the podcast like a job. Yes, you see other people on Twitter and they're like, this podcast host just signed a $30 million Spotify deal. And you're like, boom, that's what I'm going to do. It's like, yo, that person brought something unique to the table that Spotify, like, you don't even know what you like right now. You're coming in this for money. Like, that's never going to work well. So you got to know, like Meryl said, you got to be authentic and know why you're doing this, not just to do it, become famous.
But like, take me through the early days, man, with Complex and Viceland. Like, what were some of the challenges through the learning curves that you guys had throughout that process, earlier days?
Well, in the earlier days, like even with Complex, shout out to Complex and our guy, Donnie Qua. Complex was learning how to do video online at the same time as we were learning to do a podcast. So we were both kind of learning. So there were like limitations. Like one of the things, if you go back and look, we didn't realize that you can't keep changing the camera angles if there's a green screen behind you, because that changes the rendering, you know, it changes the rendering time. We didn't know that. It used to take a week to render our show. And so we never had a chance to see the show before it came out. So it was that kind of thing. Or even with like Vice, you know, just doing the show so many times a week. Just by the Thursday episode, you're just burned out. You barely got any energy. And then our schedule was just so much. We were just doing the show. But it was just like, it kind of was just like junior college, just getting you warmed up for the big leagues. So it was kind of a blessing to just have such a grueling schedule so early in our careers. So now that we're doing it once a week on Showtime, it's like, oh, this is layup. Because like we did the trial by fire already. You know what I mean? They threw us out there. And I think that's what showed that we had staying power, because a lot of people would not have survived like that schedule we were put through on other channels. And we just showed up and we did incredible work. And so, you know, it's just like, I think that was the biggest thing people need to learn in this industry is about just showing up and doing the work.
But you know what, D, you could take it to another level, because it is about being accountable, showing up and doing the work. But one of the things that's been crazy for me throughout my 15 years of doing television is when that negotiation period comes, right? Mm-hmm. And throughout the entire stint of your contract, ain't nobody said nothing to you, but you're doing so great. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to your money, people try to undercut you. I know you guys said Viceland, to a degree, you felt undervalued. What did that feel like going through that process?
Well, I mean, shout out to Victor Lopez, like, cause he like manager, creative partner, he was the dude that said, listen, this is to prove that you guys can do this. This is not to sustain this pace forever, cause this is not sustainable, but it's to prove that you got what it takes to put in the work and to make a successful show on a channel that's like buried. You know what I mean? Like in the cable guy. You know what I mean? It's like channel 161 or something like that. So, you know, like that was the main thing, was just showing, listen, we can put in the work. We don't want to do this for 28 years, doing a four-day-a-week show, no writers whatsoever, no type of, you know, just, yo, you guys go.
You had no writers? You were writing all your own stuff?
I mean, to a certain point, we still work like that. It's like the whole A block is not written. That's all riff.
It's not written. Right. And even like a lot of the sketches and stuff, there's beats. You know what I mean? It's more like a Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of style, where it's not like, say line, Jesus line, Meryl line, Jesus line, Meryl line. You know what I mean? It's more free-flowing. So, you know, yeah, and that, like,
what you were saying about the negotiations, that's something you have to learn early on in your career, that when it comes to negotiations, it's nothing personal, it's all business. And if you're a sports fan, you know that. You've seen players all year long. They got the documentary, they're highlighting them at halftime. They got the banners thanking them, and then they don't even get a call back. And then you see them like, yo, I thought they loved me. And you're like, it's like, yo, they talk like that, but at the end of the day, you are a line on a spreadsheet. So, you know, like people are going to be like, you know, you kind of have to remove your feelings from that and know your worth and let your people negotiate for you. And they know shout out to your agency. They should know like how much you're worth, how much this other person is getting. Like you have to come in there with that information. So that way you don't come in there emotional. You come in there strategic, like, yo, boom, 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 and boom. And that's why I deserve boom, versus at the Christmas party, you said you loved me. What's going on? You got to come in there with a plan of action.
Don't get in your emotional bag, right?
Exactly. Don't let that bag mess up the real bag.
That's facts, man. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you get slashed every single day. And I'm really, bro, from personal experience, man, I'm curious, how do you guys deal with just
people slashing you, whether that's on social media or people saying random things? Does it just roll off your back, or does it affect you in any way possible?
I mean, for the most part, you got to avoid it as much as you can. Like, I have a lot of like friends in the industry who just delete social media because they don't want to deal with it. But at the same time, I enjoy social media, so I'm not really trying to hop off. But it's just like, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You know, it's like these people are usually saying it to get your attention, because like they'll be like, oh, you suck. And you'd be like, what'd you say? And they'd be like, oh my God, I love the show. Can't believe you noticed me. That kind of, you know, you get that all the time. And it's just like, at the same time, it's like, you also sometimes got to just show them that they just can't be talking to you or stupid. So every now and then you got to block somebody. You got to show people that, yo, if you approach me stupidly, if you approach me in a way you would not approach me in real life, you're going to lose that access to me on social media. So it's just kind of like a balancing thing, because as long as you do that, you control your social media. You can't let social media bully you.
I don't care. I get into it, bro. I get into it sometimes, and then sometimes I'm like, this ain't worth it. You know what I mean? Lately, more so, I'm like, who cares? I don't care about you. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you're a troll. Like, this, you're getting more out of this than I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, if, you know, and not to feel myself, but if I'm up here and you're just like Twitter user number 8,000,028, and you don't really got nothing going on, it's in your benefit to like engage with me. Then people are gonna start looking at your stuff. And if you're trying to use that as a tool, like, you're not gonna use my head as a rung on a ladder. Fuck out of here.
But sometimes
I'm not even gonna block you, I'm gonna mute you so that you can just keep screaming into the void and not get the satisfaction of being like, yo, so and so blocked me. Because people actually put that in their bios. It's pathetic.
But then sometimes, you know, they go too far. Like, they might say something about your family or about the fillet of fish. And then you got to get on there and defend that square, that flavorful square available at McDonald's. Be sure during Lent you can get two for the price of one. Put a little
like
tartar sauce on the side.
Like,
you ready
to go? When he goes on his rant.
Hey, what is wrong with you? Yo, real talk, you guys keep bodying. Because what you're doing is game changing, man. Respect and love. DJ Samero, thank you guys so much.
Yo, thank you for having us on, man. Thank you for having us on.
Come on, man. 6 years ago, man. It's like that. Like that.
Let's go.
Like that.
Hey, man.
My guy.
Damn, man. Yo, y'all keep getting the bag, man. That's dope.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you, bro. Likewise, my G. I see you out there, you know what I'm saying?
A big thank you to DJ Samero and their team for making this whole thing happen. They are two of the realest men in the business, and it's inspiring to see them rise. Their show, DJ Samero, airs on Thursdays at 11 p.m. Eastern on Showtime. And if you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe to The Limits Plus. In this week's bonus episode, DJ Samero talk about how their immigrant families shaped their lives. As always, stay positive and keep it moving. The Limits is produced by Karen Kinney, Yolanda Sanguini, Mano Sundaresan, Linda Sensgeri, and Barton Gerwood. Our music is by Ramteen Arab Louie. Videos for this episode were made by Nick Michael, Joshua Bryant, and Annabelle Edwards. Special thanks to Charlie Riggi. I'm Jay Williams, and as always, remember, stay positive and keep it moving.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. This message comes from NPR sponsor, the NPR Wine Club. Get the world of wine delivered to your door. When you join the NPR Wine Club, you'll receive the stories behind every bottle and favorite NPR shows and personalities arriving in liquid form, like Weekend Edition Cabernet and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Zinfandel. The NPR Wine Club is a delicious way to support NPR's programming. If you're 21 or older, uncork a special offer at nprwineclub.org/podcast.
These days, news comes at you fast. But the truth? Getting there takes time.
There's something that hasn't been disclosed yet.
Embedded is a podcast that takes the time to look beyond the headlines.
How did this happen? How did we get here?
With original documentary storytelling. Listen to NPR's Embedded wherever you get your podcasts.